Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Lineup Logic podcast, the NBA DFS podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the slate to come on FanDuel. Your host here, Sean Kane. Monday, we're back at it. Great little slate tonight, nice little slate, and it's a little weird. It's not super easy value slate like maybe a Friday. Friday was bonkers. Huge cash lines, absolutely nuts. Lots of people cashing out there in listener land. Hey, listen up, man. If you cash, if you're a listener of the show and you're making money, I want to hear from you on Twitter. Let's talk about it. I heard from some people over the weekend on Saturday, saying, hey, thanks for the advice. Thanks for the cash. Of course, our boy Josh Fern taking down the GPP on the late slate on Friday night. Well done, sir. Very, very happy to hear that. It was a good weekend in DFS, not going to lie. Friday and Saturday nights, nice slates. Had some nice lineups myself. Pretty pleased with the outcomes. Yesterday was a little frustrating. That overtime game in LA definitely hurt some results, hurt some outcomes for me personally. But if you own shares of it, then man, you were pumped. If you were on Paul or you were on Griffin, Kemba and Nick Batum even had games, and I wanted to play some JJ Redick, ultimately did not. You know, starting shooting guards against the Hornets are always in a good spot. To that's been a season long trend. So hopefully you got in the cash last night and Saturday. And like I said, you know, if you cash and you're listening to the show, I'd love to hear from you on Twitter. Even if you don't cash, I'd love to talk through what happened. I mean, you can DM me anytime. Show me a lineup that didn't hit. Hey, what do you think? What mistakes did we make here? Let's talk about it. You know, it may feel like, you know, depressing or whatever, but I completely disagree. You learn from these things, and you learn from mistakes as much as you learn from trends that work out. So, you know, in the next hour to come, we are going to jump into this Monday slate. Nice little slate. We'll preview the night to come in the NBA spreads, injury news, and we'll break down the players on the slate upcoming. We'll talk studs. We'll talk mid-tier. We'll talk value. There's not a lot of value. Seems like a good night to go balanced. Interesting lineup constructions. Definitely going to be – I think one thing you'll see is you won't see ownerships like – massive ownerships on certain value plays and certain studs. You know, when it's very clear who the studs are and it's very clear who great value plays are, then you see massive ownerships on those guys because it's easy to fit them in and it's easy to understand what their production outcomes are going to be. When you have a more balanced approach, you know, you get a little bit more balanced of ownerships percentages out there. So I'm not really sure what we'll see tonight. I don't know if we'll see high cash lines. I think it's a night where you want to hit 310, you know, in your cash games, and you want to make sure you lock in those 50-50s and those double ups, and you see maybe if you can get yourself up into some GPPs. But, you know, and not like that's any different than any other night, but I'm saying you want to hit a floor tonight for sure. You want to make sure you have a kind of a floor-based lineup so that you're not forcing value, because there's not a lot of real obvious value out there. If you want to be aggressive in GPPs, then there's value, and that could be interesting. So anyhow, but before we do that, let's talk about Friday's lineup. One of these nights. Okay, so on Friday, Josh and I broke down the slate. It ended up being a really nice night for DFS, huge cash lines, but the lineup that I ended up with went to 326. We were on Russ and Corey Joseph, who were both owned above 70%. Gary Harris, Wesley Matthews. Wesley Matthews was basically a last-minute pivot for me off of off of Oladipo. I was originally on Oladipo. I liked him. He got ruled out because of the back, and I basically was like, you know what? I don't want to screw my lineup too much. I'll just pivot down to Matthews. It's only $200. Okay. You know, he didn't do great, but he didn't totally bust. He went for 3X, and that was okay because I had a couple guys exceed value. Anyway, Jimmy Butler, TJ Warren, really got a lot of help from them going to overtime. Had that game not gone to overtime, I think we would have seen some lower scores. Dirk and Dario Saric, and then Steven Adams, you know, and core plays that we talked about on the pod, Russell Westbrook, Gary Harris, Jimmy Butler, Saric, Adams, all getting themselves to about 5X. Jimmy did not have the game that I wanted him to have, but hey, what are you going to do? Got some extra minutes there, and he was highly owned, so when he's that highly owned, he doesn't hurt you. TJ Warren had an excellent game. That was really nice. You know, and I was on Dirk kind of as an ownership leverage thing. I didn't quite know else what to do with power forward, and I didn't want to force in values anywhere else, so I kind of took the balanced approach there and, you know, went with Dirk, who I knew would have a decent matchup in Minnesota. Unfortunately, Dallas just didn't score very much. He was doing well, but he didn't score very much. Steven Adams crushed. Really, really pleased with that. Always trying to target good spots for Steven Adams because he's reasonably priced and he was low owned. So I was pretty pleased with that. You know, I think strategically, one of the things that I was talking about with the fan forecast guys, and while you're at it, hey, get yourself over to fan forecast. Great. First look breakdown from Bryce Breeden today already. Look for a starting five article from Joe Metz, the birthday boy over at Fan Forecast. Great writer posting up those articles. Guys, these pieces are one, well-written, two, well-researched, three, easy to read. They are worth reading. Follow Fan Forecast on Twitter. They're a great partner to the podcast. Great writers, great insight, you know, worth checking out. You know, always good thoughts over there. If you're building your lineup, you know, you want a quick couple ideas from some guys who are, you know, just like me, DFS junkies. So get in there. Anyhow, I think the thing that I'm looking at tonight, specifically in this lineup that I was really pleased with, is I was really pleased with guys who I was really pleased with the ownership advantage that you got. And I know this sounds weird, but you have to differentiate yourself now in cash games. You know, when I look at this pool that I was in, there were five different people tied in 15th place for the exact same score, exact same lineup. And then there was almost, I'm doing the math here real quick in my head, sorry. There was 20 different people with the exact same cash lineup at 320. Exact same cash lineup. And this is a lineup that that was sharps were on. These are names that I know you, if you were in these cash games, these are names that I 100% recognize, you know, as industry pros and big time money sharps that, you know, you hear on podcasts or you see on, you know, websites and stuff like that, you know, who play, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars, if not thousands of dollars a night. You know, you need ownership advantages in cash games, which, you know, can either come in, I think for me, it can come in two ways. One, it's just a fade the obvious value play. You know, I didn't go to DeMar DeRozan. I took that money and I went somewhere else. You know, okay, fine. DeRozan had a decent game against Boston. However, you know, it's, you don't have to force in the play that everybody is going to be on. I didn't go to Bobby Portis. I went to Dirk Nowitzki. You know, lower owned, but he had a better game than Dirk. That gave me an advantage. And Steven Adams, I had him at 5%. You know, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but what I'm trying to say here is that in a large pool cash game like this, or in one of the big double ups, or whatever the case may be, having a player below 10% really gives you an advantage. When he does well and people aren't on him because Roto Grinders wasn't on him or Fantasy Labs didn't say he was going to go 6X, that's when you have a distinct advantage on the field. And, you know, that for me worked out really well. So I think there is something to be said for, you know, taking taking some lower owned plays in cash games. It sounds weird, but it's something to think about. And I think it's as simple as looking at the top of the board and, you know, the major projection sites and saying, "Ooh, wow, okay, that looks really, really appealing." You know, people think that, Bobby Portis, for example, is going to go 5X because he's going to get all these minutes. You know, and I saw a sharp line, a guy who I'm always in the same pools with. He said, "Fine, Bobby Portis goes 5X. I'm going to go over to Mirotić." Really easy pivot. Mirotić played better. He got the minutes in overtime, and he played better than Portis. That worked out really, really well for him, you know. And I think that those small pivots once or twice in your lineup really make a difference, because ownership advantages in cash games have to be a thing now. You have to think about it. You need lower owned players on the field. And I'm not saying you need, you don't need all of them. You know, you don't have to go crazy with variance, but you need, let's say, two guys that you know are a little bit more risky. Maybe not the value play of the day. Maybe you just spend up a little bit off of that guy, and you know a guy who's going to get 5, possibly 6X. That'll give you an ownership advantage. So it's something to think about strategically going into cash games. If you're a cash game player like me, then, you know, it's something you want to consider. All right, let's go ahead and take a look at the slate tonight. Okay, like I said, decent little slate. I think that we have 7 games here. Starting out on the East Coast, we got Toronto going down to New York. Toronto coming off the back-to-back. 211 total in this one. Raps favored by 3 on the road. Kyle Lowry out on the Toronto side. So obviously, DeMar DeRozan. We're going to fire up some DeMar DeRozan. We're going to fire up some Corey Joseph here. Interesting, though, the new look Raptors, man. So just to be clear, like PJ Tucker and Serge Ibaka are helping that team immediately. They go on the road to Boston, they win. They get Portland at home at full strength, they win. And Serge Ibaka and PJ Tucker both get over 25. Serge got 35 minutes in both of them. Dwayne Casey is wasting no time integrating those guys into the game plan, and they both finished the entire fourth quarter for the Raptors last night against the Trailblazers. So Dwayne Casey has no problem saying, "Damari Carroll, take a seat. Jonas Valanciunas, take a seat." Very, very interesting to look at the new look Raptors. I think they got better. I really do. They look pretty sharp. They should be one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference now. And that victory over Boston was definitely a confidence booster for them. On the New York side of the ball, likely going to miss Noah and Porzingis. So, of course, you're interested in maybe some Hernan Gomez there. And of course, the usage distributes then across to things, guys like Lance Thomas and Carmelo. And we'll talk a little bit about that. Then you've got Golden State at Philly, 230 total in this one. Golden State favored by 13. That's a pretty respectful spread for Philadelphia at home. Kevin Durant with a game time decision. He is a probable, though. He has a probable tag, the hand contusion. They just gave him a couple days off, just kind of, I think, you know, rest the hand. On the Philly side, no Embiid, no Simmons out for the season. We saw that. That was interesting. No Bogut, no Bayless, all these guys out. So we're going to have nice minutes for all of the starters in Philadelphia for sure. So think about it, your primary production guys, your Bob Covingtons and your Dario Saric's are priced properly now. So kind of frustrating. Milwaukee at Cleveland, 217 total here. Cavs favored by 7. Obviously, the big news here is on the Cavs side of the ball. No K Love. LeBron is still sick. He's got strep throat. So, and he was not at shoot around. Nor was Kyle Korver, sore knee. Be interesting if Kyle Korver doesn't play. Then I think We definitely have some interest in Iman Shumpert as a value play. He's all the way back down to min price, and he's been sharing minutes with Korver, but Korver's been getting all the production. But you have to think Shumpert will play 35 minutes in that situation. I don't think LeBron is going to play. I'm going to be completely honest with you. Strep throat, I mean, that hurts. You know, more rest for him. They're at home. You know, I basically it's going to be Giannis versus Kyrie. Okay, you know, that's fine. You know, there's no Jabari Parker. There's no Chris Middleton on the Milwaukee side. The no Chris Middleton thing, Bryce Breeden pointed this out on Fan Forecast. Definite bump for Michael Beasley in the minutes department. You got to think that they're going to want a little bit more offense out there, and Beasley is probably the one to get it. So maybe we'll get 30-minute Michael Beasley, which is always decent. Atlanta at Boston, 212 total here. Boston favored by 4 on the at home. No serious injuries on either side except for, you know, Avery Bradley still out. I mean, that injury must be really serious. We're going on 8 weeks here. That he's been out. So, interesting game. The Atlanta rotation is weird. I watched the Hawks game on Saturday night against the Magic, and the Hawks looked out of sync. Two, they weren't giving a ton of minutes to their starters, and I can't tell if coach was basically just like, you know what, you guys are playing like shit. Get out of here. I don't know. Maybe a message game, but you know, you got to think that Atlanta really wants to get this win on the road to kind of stay in the hunt for playoffs here. They're, they're in, I think they're in the sixth seed. Indiana at Houston, 230 total here. Houston favored by 10 at home. On the Indiana side, we've got Thad Young back from the wrist. So that's interesting. Kind of back to the normal rotation, Indiana. Paul George just been having some difficult games, you know, left the game on Friday night with a, you know, kind of tweaked his leg. I don't really know what it was. And then last night got ejected with a double technical. So, you know, hopefully bounce back spot for Paul George, driven his price down, like him a lot at 7-8 today. On the Houston side of the ball, Pat Bev was dealing with that groin injury, but he played, and played well. So it's clearly not that big of a deal. Don't see any rest for Houston. Biggest thing to keep an eye on Houston, Lou Williams, man, just absolutely getting the green light to shoot as much as he wants on that second unit. So kind of spreading the attempts around from, you know, guys like Eric Gordon on that second unit, you know, kind of drives Eric Gordon's value down a little bit. Miami at Dallas, 200 total in this one. Miami favored by 1. This is a stay away for me. Two of the slowest teams, two of the most defensive minded teams in the league. No clear matchup advantages really for anybody in what is going to be a slow slogging game, and guys who are priced up, you know, nobody's priced like so well that you want to play them just because of minutes. Just don't think that works for me. Minnesota at Sacramento, 212 total here. Minnesota favored by 5 in the last game of the night. Slow game, really. Two teams that play pretty slowly, but actually should be a decent matchup. You know, the new look Kings have been decently competitive. You know, they're playing some defense. They're playing hard. You know, Jaeger's a good coach, I think, and he's got five guys or 10 guys on the floor who want to play NBA basketball. They're good. You know, they're not gonna just roll over and quit because Boogie left, which is good for Sacramento fans. I'm glad that they have that. Excuse me. No serious injuries to worry about on the Minnesota side of things. You know, Garrett Temple and Aaron Aflalo. Probably interestingly enough, they're thinking about waiving Aflalo. So you know, kind of clear up that logjam that they have at the 2 and the 3. Something to note about the Kings rotation. They've been starting Ty Lawson at the 1 and shifting Collison over to the 2. So we know Collison is listed as a 1 on FD, but he's playing the 2. You know, and they're not really doing, you know, I guess they're playing Macklemore at the three. Basically, they're trying to give Collison, they're basically saying, like, Collison, we trust you, we want you on the floor, and we have no problem with you playing the two kind of next to Ty Lawson. So, interesting situation to keep your eye on. Not necessarily that I love the matchup. I don't mind Ty Lawson's matchup against Rubio. But, you know, it should be a decent game. Karl Anthony Towns went absolutely bananas in Houston on Saturday night. Love that man when he gets in a good matchup. But this is a meh matchup against a pace down team who actually has some height. You know, Kufos and Willie Cauley-Stein play defense, and Towns probably won't get a lot of free run like he did in Houston with transition and free rebounds. So that's it. That is the 7-game slate. Like I said, not bad, not a ton to sort through, but not a ton of value. Seems like a night to maybe go fair and balanced. So let's jump into the breakdown and find out which players we love. Who do you love? Okay, lock and load segment here. What we are going to do is sort through the studs on the slate and try and help you figure out where you want to put your money. Because it's important tonight. It really is. At point guard, for me, Steph is very appealing. I have no problem with Steph Curry tonight. And I know a lot of people will see that matchup with Philadelphia and say, ooh, that's a nice price. I also really don't mind, Kyrie. I especially love Kyrie at 9-1. He had a great game on Saturday night. Kyrie, in a spot where LeBron sits, which could be very likely. But my favorite point guard of the night is Isaiah Thomas at 9-3 at Atlanta, or excuse me, getting Atlanta. He's had a couple down games in the last couple outings. But, you know, I mean, hey, we know Thomas has 45, 50 point upside, you know, and facing mediocre defense from a guy like Dennis Schroeder, really, really nice at home. So something, I just want to clear this up. So there's been a lot, there's been some conversation. Is it IT2? Is it IT3? Is it IT4? Well, so he's not a junior, so it's not IT2. And I thought it was, maybe he was a Isaiah Thomas III. He's not Isaiah Thomas III. The 2-3-4 has come with the different numbers that he's worn. IT2 was his first nickname because that's what they called him at Washington because he wore the number 2. I looked this up on a Boston sports fan thread. So I was like, wait, let's figure this out because there was some fan forecast argument about this. I guess in Boston now they're kind of leaning towards IT4. I don't know. It doesn't have a very nice ring to it. So let's just call him Isaiah Thomas. Anyway, here's why I like the matchup with Atlanta. Alfred Payton just recently torched them. And watching that game, all that Payton was really doing was pushing pace, penetrating, dishing. And then when they didn't close out, he was finishing. He was just finishing at the rim. He wasn't settling for shots. He didn't have to do that. But, you know, we know that we can attack Atlanta at the point guard. We know that they're susceptible in the backcourt. So no problem with attacking Atlanta here via Isaiah Thomas at home. He's averaged 41 points against the Hawks this year. He only needs 43 at this price to hit value. You know, like I said, Hawks are bottom 10 in DVP to the point guard. I think the only question that you have in your mind about playing Thomas is that, you know, okay, let's say KD sits. Give me Steph. If LeBron sits, give me Kyrie. And that's a pretty easy situation, you know, pretty easy decision to make. They're all priced right in the same range, 9-3, 9-3, and 9-1 for Kyrie Irving at the bottom there. So I like Isaiah quite a bit at home in this situation, you know, and he's always got a ceiling opportunity. He gets hot. There's always a ceiling game in his future. So or in the card. So let's go ahead and lock in Isaiah Thomas. At shooting guard, Giannis is my favorite shooting guard of the night. We obviously have James Harden in a pretty solid matchup against Indiana. Harden has had a really really up and down performances lately. A couple 40-point games, you know, and then he had that 68-point game against Miami, which was kind of out of the blue. You know, I think part of it is because he's got a lot of shooters. Everybody's playing well. You know, when everybody on the Rockets has, you know, has a hot hand and they're able to shoot, they don't need Harden to score 30-plus points. And if he doesn't score 30-plus points, he's not going to score over 50 fantasy points. So I'm not going to take that risk tonight on a slate where I don't have a ton of value. It's not that I don't like the matchup. It's not that I don't think it's a ceiling opportunity for him. I always think it's a ceiling. There's always a ceiling there for him. It's just a price restrictive, you know, and Giannis at 10-9, I think, is in a situation with no LeBron Cavs where he can really, you know, go to work and try to get a W on the road against the Cavaliers. You know, he just did what he wasn't supposed to do. We usually expect him to go off and hit his ceiling against, you know, pace up teams. You know, we like him against LA, we like him against Houston, Golden State, etc. But he went for 50 in a pace down game against Utah. You know, he was just attacking the rim. He just was being super aggressive offensively. And I think that, you know, he has another opportunity to do that here. If LeBron doesn't play, it's even better. You know, I feel like you really got to find room to get Giannis in there and lock him in if there's no LeBron. But even LeBron has given up some pretty big games to these young studs. He gave up a big game to Giannis. He's averaged 54 FanDuel points against Cleveland this year. You know, Wiggins went for 49 against LeBron. LeBron just kind of isn't really stressing himself about defense recently. So, you know, I think Giannis in a pace-up game at 10-9, one of the better totals on the night, 30% usage, all the attempts for him, plenty of opportunity with no Middleton in the lineup. It should be a good game with the news. I think we wait for news. And if we get no LeBron news, then hey, let's go Giannis. That's what we're doing at shooting guard. At small forward, like I said, not fading LeBron, but I don't think he's going to play. He's got strep throat. So it's going down to KD. KD is probable. You know, he's averaged 46 as a road favorite this year. He's in a plus matchup with the 76ers as far as just general defense as the 76ers. Now, positionally, it's not perfect against Bob Covington, who's a quality defender. You know, but you don't really worry about bad matchups for KD. He's kind of matchup proof, especially if the Warriors are running in transition. You know, he gets to the rim and he's going to be able to close out on guys like Dario Saric and Jahlil Okafor. That doesn't worry me. You know, and the peripherals are always there for KD. You know, he's priced really nicely at 10-3. That's not a bad number for him, you know, especially since he's averaged 47 on the road in these plus matchups. So I don't think you need him. I think he's a GPP play, and he will be low owned, but, you know, he's more of a pivot for me, a stud pivot from some of the more chalky plays, which will be Paul George, you know, and pivot off of maybe Giannis instead. You know, maybe you're trying to be contrarian. I think you'll get him at pretty low ownership tonight at 10-3. At power forward, we've got two interesting options. I think Draymond Green and Paul Millsap both in play, basically for price. Kind of spotty minutes recently, kind of spotty situations for both of them. So their prices have depressed quite a bit. But these are both guys who have 40-point upside. Draymond is priced at 7-2. He's got a great price, great matchup. You know, you want Draymond, you don't mind Draymond on the road, and you want him in competitive games. I don't know that this will be that competitive. But there's a huge DVP advantage against the front court of the 76ers. I mean, Dario Saric is not going to be able to guard Draymond Green. Jahlil Okafor is not going to be able to guard him. You know, he's not that offensively minded, not that aggressive off the dribble or anything, but, you know, he's had a couple of down games. Maybe he has a bounce back. You know, I looked into why the minutes have been in flux for Draymond. So I read a couple beat reports from Bay Area writers, and You know, he was definitely not pleased with reduced minutes in both games. He got 22 minutes in both the game, most of the recent games. But they seem to think it's Steve Kerr basically sending a message to Draymond being like, listen, cut the BS. You know, the jawing he got into it with and got a technical in the Clips game against Blake. He got a couple quick fouls in the Brooklyn game and was jawing with the refs. Kerr benched him. He just put him in the bench and said, we don't need you if you're going to play like this. We don't want you to be distraction. And they can. They could beat the Nets with Draymond on the bench. So it seems like a statement from Kerr. Maybe Draymond gets the message. He responds. He steps up here, you know, gets his normal 30 minutes you know, gets quite a few rebounds against this very poor front court of Philadelphia. I think Millsap, though, is an excellent pivot. He will probably be a little bit lower owned. You know, the minutes, like I said, I think it was just another coaching move. Like, you guys aren't playing well, starters, against Orlando. Sit down. You know, but they need this win against Boston. He had 40 last time against the Celtics. You know, and the thing that you like about Millsap in this situation is that they can go small to match up with Horford, that Horford line. They can go small, and they can put Millsap at the five. You know, and they can run out, you know, Schroeder, Hardaway, Bazemore, Cephalosha, and Millsap. You know, they don't have to run out Dwight. You know, they will give Dwight 20 minutes, but they will probably finish the game with those guys on the court in order to match the Boston small ball lineup. So I don't mind Millsap at all. Hopefully he gets 30 minutes. If he gets 30 minutes, you know, he's got 40-point upside, and at 7-4, that's pretty nice. At center, Hassan Whiteside. I hate Hassan Whiteside. I've said it once, I'll say it again, but I'm going to talk about him because I don't think Cat is in play on this slate. It's pace down situation in Sacramento, decent front court defense. I don't think you need to pay up 10-6 for him. I'd much rather have Giannis for 50 points there. But Whiteside's got one of the worst rebounding teams in the NBA. You got to be careful, though. People think Dallas is a great target for centers. It's really not. They're very stingy from a scoring perspective. They double down on centers. They pack in the paint. Whiteside has a tendency to disappear. So I'm recommending him very cautiously. You know, he fits the price range, and there's a couple interesting things about his matchup here. But he's a GPP pivot only. You know, we know he has a 50-point ceiling. We know he probably have low ownership, but I don't think you need to force Whiteside into your lineups. There's plenty of value in the mid tier and you know, 5-6K range at center tonight. So, you know, take your center value there and avoid Whiteside in this situation, in my opinion. All right, let's go ahead and let's jump into the mid-tier here, the fantasy ground, the mid-price players in the 5 to 8K range that you're trying to fill in around your studs tonight. Feels like an important night to concentrate on this area just because there's not a ton of value. So you really have to kind of find the right price plays in this in this range in order to kind of fill out the rest of your lineup in the way that you want. So let's start at point guard. Two options here, Dennis Schroeder at 6'5", and Derrick Rose at 6'1". Now, I like Schroeder quite a bit more than Rose in this situation. He's got Isaiah Thomas defense. You know, I know we've been a little bit worried about him getting sent to the bench and everything like that, but he did get his job back and got his 30 minutes against the Magic the other night and finished the game in the fourth quarter, even though the Hawks couldn't really get it together. He played well in the first half. The whole team looked sloppy. In the second half, he got cold shooting. He only really shot 3 for 11, but he definitely contributed in the rebounds and the assists category. Isaiah Thomas, -4 in defensive real plus minus, one of the worst point guard defenders in the league. You know, he's priced fairly, too. To hit 32 FanDuel points is not a crazy question for him in a plus matchup. He hasn't played full minutes against the Celtics this year. Injuries kept him out of one of those. But, you know, solid price, solid matchup. I like Schroeder at 6'5". I also don't mind Derrick Rose. We just got the news that Brandon Jennings has been waived. We know that Kristaps Porzingis and Joakim Noah are likely out. So Rose has been getting, you know, big minutes, 35 minutes or more, an interesting pivot away from Schroeder. he'll get Corey Joseph defense, not really that good. You know, with limited tools in the New York at home, Derrick Rose should be a lower owned option with consistent minutes, you know, and a reasonable price. He's been getting 27 fantasy points in the last two games. You know, 30 is not a crazy number. 40 is a ceiling for him. So he's always a little bit of a risk. You know, you worry if he's going to actually hit value or just kind of be have an off night. But in this situation, no Brandon Jennings, minutes are secure, good price, decent matchup. You feel like you maybe have an ownership advantage with Derrick Rose. So I don't mind him if he falls to you while you're building your point guard spots. I think I'm fading Jeff Teague and Ricky Rubio. They're kind of overpriced and they're not in great individual matchups. You know, I don't mind pivoting to TJ McConnell. Good minutes in a pace-up situation, decent price. You know, Steph defense is real. He'll have some tough defense, but you know his minutes are absolutely secure in that Philadelphia rotation, and he you know, he's got a great pace situation at home, so don't mind that at all. At shooting guard, we got two options here, kind of you know, on the higher price side, and then I'll give you one pivot that is interesting. DeMar DeRozan at 8-6 and Clay at 7-1. DeMar is in an excellent spot. We know the Knicks are terrible against the two. He's going to have a massive usage rate without Kyle Lowry. He averaged 42 against the Knicks this year. And he had a – here's what one thing that I really love. You know, when I was watching this game last night, he had 16 free throws last night against the Trailblazers. DeMar just understands how to get contact, how to slow down the game, how to get easy buckets, you know, and he had 32 points. He had 16 free throws. He went 15 of 16. The Knicks are 26 in the league, allowing 25 free throws per game. So you have to think that DeMar DeRozan will try to take advantage of that, get to the line, get those interior players in trouble. You know, Clay also in an excellent spot against Philadelphia. He's averaged 31 this year as a road favorite. He's going to have Philadelphia, who's 21st against the shooting guard in DVP. A great matchup against, you know, an individual matchup against Gerald Henderson or Nick Stauskas, who are both undersized compared to Clay. You know, they're not going to get a lot of help either. You know, it's going to be kind of a one-on-one situation, you know. Covington usually can help out, or TJ McConnell can help out, but you can't really leave KD or Steph in that situation. So, you know, Clay, very good individual matchup here. He's priced to hit 35 plus points. That's a pretty solid number for him to hit. You know, he's not the best value on the board, but I see him as a solid pivot down from DeMar, down from Giannis for sure. I'm fading everybody in this Miami-Dallas game. Houston backcourt feels very crowded to me, so I don't want to really go there. You know, I don't mind Lou Williams as a pivot, but my favorite lower price pivot tonight is Tim Hardaway Jr., who seems to be the only guy on the Hawks who's getting decent minutes. He's getting tons of attempts. He had 35 points last game against the Celtics. You know, I think that his role in the Hawks offense is pretty secure. And if Jalen Brown starts rather than Marcus Smart, that's a pretty good defensive matchup for him. You know, Marcus Smart is a pretty solid defender, but even against Marcus Smart, he had 35 FD points. So I don't mind Tim Hardaway Jr. at all at 5'5". He's priced very reasonably, you know, hit 25, 26 points, you know, and that's not terrible for him with a good matchup history there. So moving on to small forward in the mid-tier here, we've got two guys that are pretty obvious, and I think they'll be pretty chalky. Paul George at 7'8 and Bob Covington at 7'1. They're both priced well. They're both in pace-up games, positive situation in minutes, team totals, usage, etc. They should be able to hit 35 each individually. Both have shown 40-point ceilings here. You know, George has been struggling lately. But, you know, one game he went out with the injury, then he got ejected. You know, I think he should see plenty of possessions, plenty of usage here against Houston. He had 50-plus FanDuel points last time out against them. You know, in Covington, he gets the most minutes on the 76ers without a doubt. You know, he's continued his production. He's been rock solid. They love his defense. They love the way he plays on both ends. He's been getting, you know, he's had two games over 40 in the last three. So I like them both here. I think Paul George is going to be super chalky. People are going to be on him for sure. At below 8K is where you want to play Paul George. And why not against the Rockets? You know, Covington is an easy to pivot away from him. Maybe you go down to Harrison Barnes just to kind of leverage ownership. You know, and assuming that KD is going to limit Covington's production, that's not crazy. And you say, maybe I can get 30 points out of Harrison Barnes. Okay. But he's not shown, you know, a ton of ceiling lately, really. Barnes, he's just kind of been mediocre at best. So I don't mind it. You know, there's a little bit of value at small forward. There's not a ton of spots where you can play. We'll talk about that in a little bit. At power forward, you've got Dario at 7K and Serge at 5'9". I don't know. Dario is priced all the way up. You know, we loved attacking Dario in the last two games over you know, the last two matchups were really, really good spots. He's priced really well. But he's going to face Draymond Green tonight. And that, to me, scares me. Draymond Green, one of the best individual defenders. You know, I think it's okay to fade Dario on this slate. I don't see that 40-point upside in this situation. So, I don't know. It could come back to bite me for sure. You know, he has had two double-doubles in the last couple games in 30-plus minutes, but if you can get off of Dario and get up to Paul Millsap or get up to Draymond Green, that's absolutely fine. So Serge is a much safer play. I really like him in cash games tonight. You know, he has just had excellent usage and minutes against with the Raps in these last two games. You know, yesterday he finishes the game, the whole fourth quarter against Portland. He gets 35 minutes, 15 attempts. He had a double-double yesterday. You know, that was just an excellent opportunity for Serge. They really want that small ball lineup, and Casey is not wasting any time implementing that, you know, kind of what would be his playoff rotation to finish games. And I think that's smart by Dwayne Casey. So, you know, with the Magic, he had 31 FanDuel points against the Knicks in two games. So it priced at 5'8", I think, or 5'9". That's just where you want him to be, you know, just over 5X value. There's a couple decent pivots, though, down in the 5K range. I don't mind Michael Beasley at all. You know, no Chris Middleton. They're going to need offense from Beasley. You know, but he does only sometimes get 20 minutes. So, Thad Young is kind of a nice sleeper at 5'2". Definitely an ownership advantage there against a Rockets team that struggles on the interior. He's priced extremely well, 30-point ceiling at 5'2". You kind of like that. And then another real good pivot is Willie Cauley-Stein. Great spot. He will get 30-plus minutes against Karl-Anthony Towns. Really, really, really like this spot for really like this spot for Willie Cauley-Stein. Absolutely. Then going down to center, Miles Turner, absolutely one of my favorite plays on the board tonight. Turner at 6'5". The Rockets cannot defend the center. They do not rebound. Turner should have a really nice opportunity in a pace-up game. He's priced extremely reasonably. You know, he's going to be able to get to the rim and get rebounds pretty easily on the interior here against Clint Capella. He had 43 last time against the Rockets. You know, you love him. He needs 30-plus to hit value. You love him to do that in this situation. He's basically the second offensive tool behind Paul George, and the Pacers really want to feature him. So, you know, Turner at 6'5 is really, really one of my favorite plays on the board tonight. And people don't really play Turner that often. You know, I think 20-30% tonight, you know, maybe less depending on what kind of pool you're in. You know, who knows? People will be on Hernan Gomez for whatever reason because of the Noah news. But I think Turner has more upside. And, you know, I like Miles Turner. He's not always sexy, but he's priced well. So the pivot, though, for me is even the opposite side. Clint Capella at 5'2", you know, 30-point upside against a pretty weak Pacers front court defense that's let up a lot of production in the center position. You know, it should be it's not a bad matchup for Capella. Turner and Capella are basically physical equals. So, you know, you should be able to see both of them, get to the rim on each other and finish. And they're both, you know, athletic, lanky centers. So decent matchup in there for both of them. You know, Capella is limited basically by the production of the guys around him, whereas Turner is kind of the actual second option behind Paul George. All right, let's go down to the bargain basement where it is pretty thin here, my friends, pretty thin. At point guard, you have basically Pat Beverly and Corey Joseph. That's pretty much all I'm doing. Pat Bev, decent matchup against the Pacers. I really like how he's actually taken more shots and gotten up a lot more buckets lately. Kojo will be chalky because people are just riding his production lately. He's up to 4-4. And you know what? Why not? Kojo is one of the best, most secure value point guards. You don't fade a value point guard. You know what you're going to get. At shooting guard, there's really not much. You know, below Tim Hardaway, the only guy that I can really see myself playing, maybe some of the Sacramento guys, you know, I don't know. You know, but I don't trust Buddy Hield yet. I don't really do that. I'm not really interested in that. And at McLemore doesn't seem to be getting any rotation. So Shumpert, maybe if Korver is out with the knee, then I think Shumpert becomes interesting. You know, he's been getting, you know, 30 minutes in situations when, you know, there's no other shooting guards in town. Korver's fine if he plays, you know. I don't know if he'll play, though. He was limited at shoot-around. We'll see. Small forward, I think there's a couple decent options here, actually. So, you know, you don't have to pay up for Paul George and Bob Covington. I think at small forward, it's okay to go with maybe a Jaylen Brown or a Lance Thomas. Both priced really well, just above min price. Both getting 25 minutes in starters roles, Lance Thomas starting for the injured Porzingis, and Jaylen Brown moved into the starting two spot over Marcus Smart, who's coming off the bench. You know, don't mind them at all. They've been producing kind of across the board, points, rebounds, etc. Like them both. I think that they're probably some of the most solid value plays on the board. At power forward, there's not much here, man. Derek Williams, maybe. Decent 20, 25 minutes, you know, especially if LeBron is out, you don't mind trying to get some of these Cavs value players, you know, Channing Frye, okay, maybe. Scal Labissiere, I don't know how to say that, the Kings power forward, he's been getting some bumps in minutes and he's been playing well, so I don't mind him, but, you know, I still prefer Willie Cauley-Stein, who's going to be playing the five against Cat for 30 minutes tonight. And then at center, I think you have two options that are reasonable. Zaza getting 20 plus minutes against the Philadelphia front court should be a real nice spot. I mean, he could go 20 and or he could go 10 and 10 in those 10 minutes that he or excuse me, in those 20 minutes that he gets. And then Kyle O'Quinn, you know, with no Porzingis and Noah, you know, O'Quinn is always consistently getting those minutes. You know, we know that to be sure he's getting 20 plus minutes. Sometimes if he gets hot, he gets more minutes. So, you know, he's got 30 point upside and at 4-5, you know, you could do worse. You just kind of have to pick your spots with O'Quinn. You don't know when he's going to hit his floor and when he's going to hit his 30 point ceiling. All right, so let's go over to lineup lock. This is where I'm going to give you guys a cash core to start with. I'll give you a cash core of some plays that I really, really like tonight. And then I'll move over to, you know, a full lineup build that kind of is a shell lineup for you to toy with, tweak with. As news comes out, you make your changes. You know, in my interview the other day on the Coach and Cole show, you know, the host, Nick, was like, hey, man, you know, it's really nice that you help people build lineups, but it's even better that you tell people, like, this lineup isn't, you know, a lock. You need to build and change things on your own. And like, I'm not a lineup provider. I don't want to be a lineup provider because I want you to know how to make your own decisions in fantasy basketball and how to get better on your own. All the guys who are lineup providers, they don't do anything beyond more research than you. So, you know, don't sleep on that. That's a reality. That's it. That's the only difference between you and the rest of those guys. So, all right. My core tonight is the following. My core, I'm going to start with Isaiah Thomas. I love him. And DeMar DeRozan, I like him quite a bit. And then I'm really interested in Willie Cauley-Stein and Miles Turner. Those are my four core players that I'm really starting with. Then I'm going to I'm going to flesh out this lineup and I'm going to add in a couple plays here. Now, there's a couple options. I may change some things, so who knows? But here's what I've got so far. I've got Isaiah Thomas at point guard, Corey Joseph at point guard two, shooting guard. I've got Tim Hardaway Jr., who I'm not sure, but I think I like him as an ownership advantage here in this spot. I don't think people will be on him, and I know his minutes and his role are secure. At shooting guard, I like DeMar DeRozan at 85. Then at small forward, it's Covington and Paul George. Both will be chalky. Both will probably be in the 50% range of ownership. So I don't know if I'm going to be on Covington. That may change, but we'll see. And then at power forward, it's Cauley-Stein and Michael Beasley. They'll be owned. They will be owned for sure. But Serge Ibaka will get a big ownership bump as well. And then at center, Miles Turner. So again, Isaiah Thomas, Corey Joseph, Tim Hardaway, DeMar DeRozan, Covington, Paul George, Willie Cauley-Stein, Michael Beasley, and Miles Turner. My core being Thomas, DeRozan, Cauley-Stein, and Turner. Now, I also really like Paul George as kind of a fifth starter there. So locking him in a lot of situations. All right, guys. Hey, subscribe on iTunes. If you haven't written a review, please do so. It really helps me. And if you're winning because of the show, I want to hear you. I want to hear from you. If you're losing because of the show, DM me. You don't have to put it on Twitter, but DM me and let's talk. You know, hey, man, I missed here. What do you think the problems were? Let's talk about it. That's so important to me. Look forward to the rest of the week. Good luck in your contest tonight, and I will see you tomorrow.